Let's go on to that other issue I was talking to you about the gas shortage up the east coast of Australia. The whole fact of the matter is that, you know, we just should not have gas shortages in this country. There's no way known. For the population we have got, gas shortages are just completely and utterly bonkers. Yet we've found ourselves in that situation, and that therefore will compound the difficulties that we have with electricity generation. Because as we've heard from the Australian Energy Market Operator, AEMO, there has not been enough electricity generation built in Australia over the past 15 years, and the reliance on renewable energy sources is insufficient. And gas, if there is a shortage, is not going to be the answer, especially when you hear stories of some industry up the East Coast having to pay two and three times more than what they were paying 12 months ago. The Minister for Energy and the Environment is Josh Frydenberg, who's on the line right now. Many thanks for your time, Josh.
Nice to be with you, Ross.
Is this as crazy to you as it is to me?
Look, it's a real challenge and an increasing problem. A number of things have happened in our gas market which have led us to the position we're in today. The first is we're seeing state governments put in place moratorium on the development of gas, whether it's conventional onshore gas extraction or unconventional gas extraction. And this has dried up the supply that would otherwise be there. So, for example,
well, the Victorian government has actually now banned all onshore gas development, hasn't it?
Correct. And, for example, the Northern Territory has enough domestic supplies to provide Australia for its own domestic needs for 180 years. But those unconventional gas reserves are stuck in the ground because of the moratoria. The second thing that's happened, Ross, is that we are increasingly exporting our gas overseas. Now, that's created billions of dollars worth of investment in our country and thousands of jobs. But two-thirds of what we produce now goes into export, and we now have a price that is set in comparison to the international price, and we have gas that would otherwise be provided for domestic use now going for export, and that is also part of the problem.
Okay, so there was no gas reservation. A lot of people argued against a gas reservation, saying it was like protectionism, all that type of stuff. I do note, however, that WA has a very successful reservation of gas. I think it's 15% of the production goes into the WA economy. In the United States, they have a very successful gas reservation policy. Why is it that the government, your government, cannot simply try now mandate to have a gas reservation from those East Coast developments to make certain that some of that gas is ordered into the Australian market where it is needed?
Well, the argument has always been that if you reserve gas for domestic use, and Western Australia is slightly different because they have so much gas in that state, but if you would reserve it here on the East Coast, the argument has been you would deter the level of investment that would otherwise come. Now, a decade ago, in Australia, we were looking to import gas from Papua New Guinea, but it was only with the development of our export market that we started to see major companies invest in gas exploration, which has created that as abundance of reserves, which now predominantly go for export. So we need to be very creative in our thinking. And in Queensland recently, the state government there released a tenement for exploration, where they said one of the conditions for companies that wanted to bid for that exploration had to provide the gas for domestic use. Now, I thought that was quite a creative and an interesting way going forward, because it didn't introduce the notion of sovereign risk on existing investments companies had. It just said going forward, we would reserve that gas for domestic use.
Yeah, but you've got a real problem, don't you, also? Because remember, if there's not enough gas and the price of gas is too high, then to try and create gas-fired electricity in Australia becomes less feasible. And given the fact that the Hazelwood electricity power station in Victoria is going to be closed down, 25% of Victoria's power generation, there is not the electricity generation up the East Coast to replace that quickly or even easily.
Look, they're all good points, and gas has a number of functions in our country. One, it can be a feedstock for things like fertilizer. The second, it can be a important contributing factor in the production of glass, plastic, paper, indeed food production. Thirdly, it can be used for households, for heating and for cooking. And then fourthly, as you say, it can be used for electricity for businesses and households. And about 20% of our electricity today comes from gas generation.
Now, okay, but if I'm a brick maker in Australia, right, and I can see that the brick market is pretty good, the housing market's okay, I sit there and say, well, all right, I've got, you know, sort of $100 million worth of spare capital in my business. I'm a listed company on the stock exchange. Now, I'm going to make a decision now. I'm going to put it into Australia where I'm not sure about my electricity supply. And actually, to be honest, the gas prices have just tripled in Australia. And on top of that, if I sit there and look at the taxes, the corporate taxes in Australia, they're now going to be potentially double what they would be in the United States. Or I can go to the US, I've got guaranteed cheap gas, guaranteed cheap electricity, wages that are probably cheaper than Australia, and I've also got a company tax rate that's half that of Australia. You can understand why right now a lot of companies domestically based here in Australia are looking with rather envious eyes at the United States and think maybe their capital should live there for a while.
Well, there's a difference in the United States energy situation to Australia in that for the gas under the ground, and it's shale gas in the United States, it's the farmer or the landowner who owns it. Whereas in Australia, the gas under the ground is owned by the state or the territory. And those landowners in America have welcomed in the developers because they get a big bounty from selling their gas. Whereas in Australia, you've seen a much greater reluctance on the part of landowners because they don't get to share in the windfall. And that is something that we're looking at. How do we incentivize the landowners better to develop this unconventional gas? You see, in New South Wales, you import 95% of the gas you use. And for unconventional gas in our country, 98% of its production comes from one state, namely Queensland. So we're really operating with one hand tied behind our back. The way we're constraining the development and the exploration of domestic gas in this country with these moratoriums.
In other words, we could have lots of gas in this country, but number one, a former Labor government decided to whether it was sane or not, to price that gas at import prices. Number two, to have no reservations, to have gas going back into our system, mandated. And then number three, they got the development built, but now it's all over there, long gone, and don't have to suffer the consequences as a result.
And these are the issues that we're grappling with. And if you're interested in reducing emissions, as many people from the Greens and the Labor Party tell us that they are, they should be encouraging the greater use of gas because it has half the emissions of coal. And what we've seen in South Australia with the high penetration of wind and solar power is that gas can help stabilise the system because it's baseload power, meaning it can be generated all the time, not just when the wind blows or when the sun shines. So from a security perspective of our grid and also for the affordability of our electricity, there's a lot of things that are attractive about gas, but we just need more of it, Ross. We need more suppliers because we need more competition, but we need more supply.
Just a quick one, Josh. The Hazelwood Power Station, have you had a chat to the Victorian Premier to make certain that it doesn't close in the course of the next month or so?
Look, we're all watching this situation very
But it's going to close if you're just watching. Are you going to strap yourself to the gates or something like that?
Well, the best advice to me from the Australian Energy Market Operator has been that the system was going to cope. Now, what we have seen since that time is the problems in South Australia and how South Australia, among other states, rely on the supply out of Victoria. And Victoria will go from being a net energy exporter, unfortunately, to being a net energy importer at times of peak demand.
Doesn't that seem pretty stupid?
Well, it is of a concern to me, and that's where I'll leave it at that.
But you're not going to strap yourself to the gate to stop it happening?
Well, I am concerned about it, and I am continuing.
You may be concerned, Josh. Is there anything as the federal minister that you can actually do to stop it?
Well, I'm looking at all aspects of my options for increasing the security of the system and driving down price, and I'm in regular consultation, including in the last 24 hours, with the Australian Energy Market Operator, and all key parties across the country about our energy situation. And as you know, we have commissioned the Chief Scientist of Australia, Alan Finkel, to give us urgent advice as to how we can stabilise our system, because this problem, as you indicated tonight, Ross, has been building for many years, over a decade, and we've got to get it right. And that's what we're determined to do.
Josh Frydenberg, the Minister for Energy and the Environment. As always, we appreciate your time here on the program, Josh.